This week on RSBNB Update, necromancy gains a new ritual producing ectoplasm and money. We also discuss whether Jagex's financials are a net positive for the company going forward. From microtransactions to player numbers, we break down a distant memory. This is RSBNB Update, episode 981, recorded Thursday, April 11th, 2024. Ghosts of Fiscal Years Past. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. This week, unfortunately, Tanis was pulled away by family commitments, but no worries, we have a full slate of panelists here to discuss RuneScape's 2022 financial report, amongst other things. And, you know, you might think at the top of the show that sounds like a very dry subject matter, but it's not. It's really not, because we're going to delve into just how this one piece of content called Fresh Start Worlds impacted the year's revenue, amongst other things. And to discuss those financials, amongst other things, and some ectoplasm this week, we have Earth joining us to the podcast. Welcome back, Earth.
Howdy doodly.
Earth, of course, co-hosted the show for 2015 and is a frequent contributor when it comes to quests. He was actually just on the Quest Tier List monthly bit episode a few days back for Patreon members. We definitely had some spicy takes on that one, didn't we?
Well, I think I was right.
And the rest of us were wrong?
Correct.
All right, of course. And also joining us this week is a listener from our community and a new contributor, Lemon, who is here to help us look through some of these financials. You also happen to be presently ranked as the 64th highest Iron Man character in the game. How exactly does that go? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So, hi, everyone. Good to be on the show. Thank you, Shane, for having me on. People may know me, particularly if you are on World 42. Shout out to the role-playing community. Kind of small these days. I've been playing in Iron for going to be 10 years or so now. We're coming up on that 10-year anniversary. I played on and off for a number of years.
What was the initial thing that drove you to the Iron Man playstyle?
Back, it would have been, 2014 when it dropped? Back in, 2013, when this sort of playstyle was starting to pick up traction, I was sort of feeling like I had really done everything on the game that I wanted to do. You know, it felt like, you know, I'm very much like an efficient mindset person. So it was like, my mindset was like, do the most efficient money-making method and then buy hats. And that was really boring.
By Fashionscape, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like 700 mil ability overrides, right?
You Something know, I'm, like I'm not actually big on the ability overrides.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
But yeah, I've been playing on the Iron as my main. Sorry, I should mention my Iron is Squiggly Lemon 1G. Archaeology was really what like set me off on this deep high score chasing adventure. I was working from home during the pandemic, and
I feel like
archaeology dropped.
I feel like archaeology was a kick for a lot of people.
It was. It was. I hadn't really paid attention to it prior to release. Again, I was at a point where like I had felt like I was done with the game. Like I had finished all the stuff that I had wanted to. Like I had just finished my Eldritch Crossbow. I think done a bit of Telos, that sort of thing. And then archaeology dropped, and I just fell in love with it. So I'm ranked 23 for irons for
nice.
Archaeology.
Nice.
That was a really good 6-week
That's one of
grind.
Our favorite skills too amongst the community here. Just how archaeology
it's such a great
goes.
Skill.
Yeah.
But you know, that was like a really great opportunity for me to like understand that like, oh, I could really, really get into this whole skilling thing, like really intensely. So I did. I got 120 all back in 2021, and then stepped away from the game shortly after the Glacor front That boss really burned me out.
Oh, okay. I'd imagine like farming and then whatnot.
Yeah, I got my first core and I was like, I am done. And I came back in May, and I'm chasing up 5.8 bill. I'm at 5.5 right now. So nice. I've talked enough.
Nice. Yeah, we'll come back to what you're up to presently a little bit later in the podcast, because I think that's just such an interesting thing to dive into. With, you know, specifically my first Iron experience was on Leagues on Old School, and I had an entirely different experience on it. So that would be a fun thing to dive into at some point. But show notes can be found over at update.show. You can also join our community Discord at update.show/Discord. And we, of course, do have the French chat as well, Bits Bytes. I can be found in game at Shane1288 and Lord Earth, or Earth is at Lord Earth. When he's online and in the French chat. But I do want to thank our Patreon.
Whoa, that felt a little targeted, because sometimes you yell at me because I'm online and Jagex has disconnected me from the French chat. I don't leave it.
Well, I just said online, because I imagine, you know, most times that you're playing old school, and then I realized that, you know, the French chats are shared. So it was just a way to try and recover there. But I do want to give a big thank you to our experienced tier Patreon supporters, for whom without RSPNB Update would not be possible. And that's Amos Reed, Andrew C., Drama Free, Jason S., Jesse W., Keski, Ricky A., Rippeth, Runestar, and the Naked Captain. Thank you so much, and you'll hear a little bit more about Patreon about the middle of the show. But let's dive in. Fanatical Bundle. It's another bundle. I don't know that we need to jump up and down about this. I do want to point out the elephant in the room that, you know, this is a recolor of one of the Actrac cosmetics from a number of years ago. And my personal perspective on that is that that's no big deal, because there's always going to be people who might have missed out on that and who are a fan of this orange and black color scheme that looks like it's almost ready for Halloween, dare I say it.
A little bit.
Yeah. So, I don't know if jumping up and down about this being a recolor of a Yak Track is potentially a good way to, you know, curry favor with your idea that there should be less microtransactions in the game. Because
it's neat.
Yeah, like it looks neat, but at the same time, you have to realize that this is also tied into Fanatical, which they classify as a leading games platform with a mission to help players all over the world find amazing games at incredible prices. So it's very much like the Steel Series Steel Armor that we got, or any of the other cosmetic sets that we got with that. So it was just there to, in effect, be the cherry on top of something for somebody who is utilizing that platform. So I feel like this is, dare I say it, and I was trying to think of a way of putting it without, you know, sounding as though I'm going to use one of Earth's phrases here. One of the phrases is that I don't want to, people would say I would sound like a Jagex bootlicker on this, but when it comes down to it at the end of the day, it's just a cosmetic in a package for people being tied to Fanatical. And I don't think there's really too much that's a problem with this. Where do you guys land on this?
I feel like I think if people had other things to talk about, we wouldn't really be talking about this.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I feel bad being on a podcast and saying this, but I literally don't care. Like,
yeah,
right. And see, that's the thing. I feel like there's people out there who are just put in the place to care because they are programmed to hate on any kind of microtransaction thing that comes out. Whereas I think people can be perfectly capable of enjoying both RS3 and old school, which doesn't have microtransactions. And
it does have
if
microtransactions,
you're
right, it's got bonds.
Well, I mean, sure, it has bonds, but not like cosmetic microtransactions or treasure keys, right? And I feel like you can enjoy both of those. And if you're in that camp, just like you are, Earth, you're not necessarily going to complain about something like this. But I feel like I feel like we maybe saw a bit too much outrage from certain parts on that. That's my controversial take of the week. No, actually,
seems
no.
Very normal.
Yeah, very mild for you, Shane.
Yeah.
I've certainly heard hotter takes from you. Less brain cells.
The treasure hunter doesn't stimulate enough endorphins when gambling. How's that?
No, go back to what it was before.
Fair enough. So that's in game presently. 200 rune coins, 35 treasure hunter keys, 5 knowledge bombs, small knowledge bombs, and 3 umbral chests in addition to the outfit from April 8th until April 29th. But the main feature of the week that everybody's talking about is the new ectoplasm ritual, which unlocks at level 95 necromancy, which is something we kind of imagined was going to be needed at some point given the amount of ectoplasm that was being used, especially by the Conjure army ability with this. And I never ran out of ectoplasm from my push to 120, so I don't know why people would run out. Maybe they were selling it along the way or something to that effect. But this is quite honestly astounding when it comes to how much money you're able to make from this. Presently, with an out-of-date price on the wiki, they list this as a 2,162% return on investment with as an hourly moneymaker.
Nice.
Which works.
Money means nothing to me.
Right, because Iron Man, obviously. And I mean, to me, seeing this from Skilling, it's like, holy crap. And, you know, with the up-to-date prices on this, I did some calculations before the show based on where ectoplasm is presently sitting and selling. It's down to about 18 mil hourly profit on that. But still, that's nothing to sneeze at, of course. And it's also finally giving us a use now for all the buckets of slime that we harvested during that event in the lead up to necromancy, which we were wondering if there was going to be a use for it, but it never really materialized until now.
Yep.
Forgotten belongings. How many buckets of slime did you guys manage to capture during that, if you still have them?
I think it was a few hundred.
I think I had like 2.7K or something like that. And I say had because I used them all up this week on the ectoplasm ritual. So I've been really pleased with this update.
So
personally,
you've just been using it to make your own ectoplasm for summoning the conjures then?
Yeah, I've done like 15 mil necromancy XP this week. Really, really pleased. One thing that I felt a little regret in some ways with archaeology is like I just burned through the skill, right? And I then had to go back after the fact and do, you know, new dig sites when they came out and all that sort of stuff. And like I was getting a whole bunch of post 200 mil XP, and I didn't want to have to do that with necromancy. So I was waiting for either new ritual site or a new ritual or something to come along, and this was the thing. I'm like, okay, I'm finally gonna do it. So
yeah, that's good. And you know, I think it's a wonderful AFK moneymaker too, because you know, typically when you're doing rituals for XP and you got alteration going up, you want to try and hit as many of the random events that appear as you can, whereas this, you just want to get the ritual done ASAP. So it actually makes sense to ignore all the random events and just let it play through on that. So
I have 1,208 buckets of slime.
That's some nice AFK money making there then.
Also, apparently clan camps were released 13 years ago, because I've now been in clan quest officially for 13 years. So,
oh my god.
Wow. Woo! Wow, that's a throwback. But I did want to talk about
abruptly feeling my age. All right, let's carry on.
Oh my god. I did want to talk about obtaining the slime specifically in that if you have Mauritania legs 2 or better, you can use that to teleport directly to the slime pool. And then with that, you're able to teleport out and grab the slime with that. The only thing that is unfortunate with this is that you can only bring, of course, the one set of buckets at a time, and you don't have a way to unnote buckets when you're there. It's not as though we have, you know, like a denoting power that we can just use right off
Shane,
the bat.
Shane,
what?
You don't need to bring buckets. They updated it a while back. You don't need to bring buckets. You just click on this on the slime with an empty inventory and you just get buckets. Just FYI.
Wow.
And also bring a beast of burden because you can fill that up too.
Okay, well there you go then. Just bring that in magic note paper.
Yeah, or magic note paper, that works too.
I should have tried this before we began today, in all honesty.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Look, we all learn something every day.
Hey, Shane.
Yeah.
I would just like you to know that update was on the 19th of October, 2015.
Listen, most of us haven't been to the Ectofunctus in a long time.
That's true, and I haven't even used it on old school.
That is almost the same amount of time from release to the change, from the change to now.
Well, Bucket of Slime and the Ectofunctus came out in February 2005.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
One other thing I want to note while we're talking about the gathering the slime.
Please.
I don't know when it changed, but sometime relatively recently, maybe it was back in 2015, I don't know. The use to gather slime at a faster rate, and Mod Luma is looking at if it's possible to revert it to its faster speed. I have no idea if that will happen or when that would happen, but you know, just FYI for anybody out there.
And I think the best part about this is that slime isn't tradable, so it's not going to be something that's, you know, bought in or what have you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I wonder how long this is going to hold up as being a good moneymaker then.
No.
Because, you know, there's got to be a cap on the amount of ectoplasm that people need. But the stuff I had was selling instantly before the update, and the price has gone down to about 2,500-ish now. I guess the question is, you know, where does this thing bottom out in terms of price? So, who's to say? But I feel like this was something that we knew we were going to need eventually with Necromancy, and it's just good to have this in place. And I feel like Mod Luma has just been on a roll here.
Absolutely.
With all the updates that have come out recently, I feel like the updates that people are seeing with the most impact, specifically here as we head into the second quarter of the year, have just been Mod Luma, Mod Luma, Mod Luma. So,
yeah.
Right on. All right, let's move on to the Jagex financials. Money making aside, with Ectoplasm. I promised you guys buckets of slime and financials. I delivered the buckets of slime. Now it's on to the financial report for the year. So, if you were going to pick one thing, Lemon.
From the spooky ghosts.
If you're going to pick one thing, Lemon, what really jumps out at you here? First things first in the financials for 22.
I want to back up a second because I know we talked about this pre-show, but just for the listeners, my background, I used to be I used to work in public accounting in audits, primarily for nonprofits and for local government. So that's the reason I'm here. We talked a little bit about my RuneScape background, but we didn't talk about my professional background. So, Shane,
I was just going to hope that, you know, people would go and, you know, take it for granted. But if you want to provide the extra background, that's fine.
Shane, I'm going to be honest with you. The thing that jumped out to me is just so dumb. I think this is like a UK thing. I think they have a, in sort of like the director's report preamble to the financial statements, they have like a, they have a section on like greenhouse gas and energy usage. And there's a section in there. And I just want to read this. "We recently introduced reusable cups for all employees in the UK, which eliminated cup usage, thereby reducing consumption by approximately 300,000 per year." That's a lot of cups. And I just, yeah. I just found this so funny. For this year, they had 433 employees. Let's just assume for the second that they're all in the office in the UK, which they're not. That's almost 700 cups per employee per year. I just, anyway, sorry. That's the thing that jumped out to me.
So much tea.
And the thing I think that we take away from this in general, and the thing that I always take away from this when it comes into that sort of thing, is that you have just huge amounts of virtue signaling that have been happening in public year over year, going back. I don't want to point when this started, but you can definitely see that people are, you know, trying to do that from that angle and whatnot. And what it comes down to at the end of the day, it's just making sure your waste is managed properly with that. Assuming you have proper waste management wherever you are and, you know, you're in a first world country, it's really not that big of a deal at the end of the day. And I don't particularly know why that was something that they felt the need to highlight in the report for this. And maybe that's why why it raised your eyebrows on this. But
yeah,
it's there. It's there.
Yep, it's there.
And anyway. Earth, how about you? What was one thing that caught your eye?
I mean, I did also think that was odd, but it was like, okay, neat. I mean, they paid out, there's something about dividends.
There weren't any this year, but there were the previous year. And then there was one.
They were in 2023.
Yeah, and that was.
Yeah,
I find that interesting, but I mean, I assume that's just to the parent company.
Yeah, before the sale and whatnot.
So.
We assume, and I think that, you know, kind of highlights one of the other things that was a bit odd about this one is that typically the financial reports are due by September of the following year, so this should have been in by September 2023, but it wasn't. We only just got it here at the end of March.
Yep.
So that's weird. And I'm just going to chalk that up to the fact that Carlyle was looking at selling Jagex to a different company, which the sale is in its closing phases right now. So I'd imagine that probably also had something to do with that.
I think it's just there are a lot of companies with December 31st year ends, and some of them get put on extension. I don't think there's anything really to read into that. It's just like this probably wasn't either Jagex wasn't super prepared for their audit for whatever reason, or they weren't a priority client for I think it was PwC who does their audit. So
okay, that makes sense. I feel like we should also mention the weird thing that was in the regional breakdown, because this was something that we kind of just glossed over, but I don't necessarily know that it's going to become, you know, the be-all and end-all of this, or if there's really too much to read into this. But it's just the huge substantial shift that's listed on one of the pages in terms of U.S. revenue dropping from £69.7 million to £14.7 million, with an increase in rest of world revenue. From 2021 being at 23.6 up to 82.4, and your take on that was that this was just likely an error in the financial report.
Yeah, I mean, I could go into the particulars of how these documents generally get drafted, but like numbers get put into spreadsheets, and like sometimes you put things in the wrong cell. That's happened at the firm that I worked at. It's happened on other companies that I've seen the financials for. Like, this stuff happens sometimes. Accountants at the end of it all are human, and sometimes make mistakes.
Yeah.
So I feel like if this was like a genuine decrease in their primary geographical demographic, like that would have been noted somewhere in the financial statements in the footnotes, and it isn't. So presumably it's just a typo.
Yeah. And like you said, if there was a major drop in American revenue, we would have, you know, seen something, or a major drop off in American players or something to that effect. We would have seen something. We would have felt something. They would have addressed something that huge with the American segment being huge for Jagex. But I think
we would have noticed that in the player base, right? So
I think the thing that the players always look for on this when these things appear is how much microtransaction revenue did Jagex make this year? How much subscription revenue did they make this year? And how much profit is the company making this year? And to sum all that up, 2022 revenue was 137.4 million pounds, with 102 million of that coming from subscriptions and about 32.5 million of that coming from microtransactions. Which I feel like that's down from where it was previously, the microtransaction side of the coin, I think.
Yeah, it's down. It's down about 2 million, which I find kind of interesting. We'll talk about, I mean, we'll get to Fresh Start later, but like I would have expected that a lot of Fresh Start accounts would have been would have paid through bonds rather than subscription. But
right, because that was the whole code thing that happened with that. So overall, the revenue was a 10% year-over-year increase, or about 13 million pounds in total. So anytime you have a huge company like Jagex in the games industry that's 20 plus years old and is still increasing its revenue year-over-year, that's seen as a good thing on the bookkeeper's end. And 2022 profits were 38 million pounds, up from about 35.1 million the year before. So small marginal increase there, but still up nonetheless.
Yes, the driving factor, in my opinion, on 2022's fiscal year was the they spent a lot for acquisitions, and there were some losses related to that. But you know, sort of like whatever.
Yeah, and when it came to acquisitions, we're talking primarily, I think it was the It was the Pipeworks acquisition primarily, I think, right?
Yeah, there was another acquisition that year, some developer out of Croatia. I don't
right,
have the
right, right,
name
right.
to hand, but Pipeworks was the one that kept coming up. So,
and I think if I remember what was happening with Croatia at the time, is that the general sense was that they were doing that one as a talent hire, amongst other things. So you can kind of, you know, read into that what you will on that, is that they bought that Game Pyres studio from them at the end of 2022 there. So overall, what's your take and feeling on what happened with the losses that came in? Do we think that this is probably from that other game that was on the works prior to this that got canned? Maybe, because I feel like that could be one of the things. Perhaps
there are three. Sorry, I'm scrolling through the footnotes trying to find where I left a note on this. there were three main in accounting terms impairment of intangible assets. What that really breaks down to is, you know, there was some stuff that they had in terms of internal development that they basically scrapped, didn't see the light of day in terms of like a release. That could have been some unannounced game, or it could have been some unannounced updates within RuneScape. But that was like 2.8 million. There was some impairment on trade receivables for the tune of 8 million. It's not clear what exactly that is.
Yeah, I don't. That's an odd one. I don't know on that.
Yeah. And then there was impairment of investments, and that's related to a loss that they a paper loss. I don't know in terms of, you know, we only get such a a small view into this through the financial statements, but you know, they basically paid more than something for the acquisitions than it ended up being worth on paper. That could have been intentional. We won't be able to know.
And the general thing with this is that everything we've talked to up at this point really doesn't affect the players.
Yes,
at the end of the day. And it's all about, you know, kind of just diving into this and providing a picture of where the money goes and where it comes from. I think the interesting thing that does wind up affecting the players on this is when we get to the subscriber numbers, specifically for in 2022, because we remember that Fresh Start was announced in August, and they had to, in effect, retool it for a later September launch. They wanted an early September launch. And the interesting thing about all this is how it factors into the entire picture of what that year was. And for people who were not there, you might not remember what 2022 consisted of. 2022 was the year that started off with Het's Oasis, and then we had some further development in the Centistan Asylum. Then we went into Extinction and Twilight of the Gods. We got some skilling updates, like the accidental skilling stuff on Anachronia there. And we also, of course, had the Wilderness rework, the Civil War storyline culminating in the Succession quest. But, of course, the big thing thrown into the middle of all that was, of course, Elite Dungeon 4 and the Zamorak boss fight. And then they cap off the year with Fresh Start Worlds. And I think the thing that we were all wondering at the time was this, is that, is this a push to find a new subscribers and new players for the game? Is it a push to bring people back, which is what they were initially marketing it as? Or is this just a way to further what feels like the RS3 strategy of using the same players, but having those same players make more accounts? And with that, we see in 2022, 2.3 million total subscribers with 1.1 daily average subscribers. And I'm curious, when it comes to daily average subscribers, the way I see that is what they put in their own mind as like the daily average user, and that there's 1.1 million people who potentially have the ability to log into RuneScape daily.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that is a totally plausible read of that. It wouldn't surprise me as well if they also look at like actual people who actually do log in on a daily basis as another metric in the organization, which, you know, makes sense. You would also call that as like daily active users. So like,
yeah.
Either
versus
way, I think
daily
really
average subscribers is just people who are subscribed on a given
subscribed
day.
Yeah. I don't know what I expected. And granted, you know, the thing to always keep in mind with the conversation we're having is, you know, we're looking back at 2022, and you know,
a lot's happened since then.
Yeah. So,
and
you know, it like 1.1 million seems like a lot to me.
But at the same time, it's the same as it was in 2021.
Sure. Yeah. True.
And that's the and I think that's where it gets interesting with Fresh Start, is because what would this number have been had Fresh Start not happened?
Hmm.
And obviously, yeah, we'll never know, because you can't go back in time and say, remove Fresh Start from here. But I think it became clear as they were heading into the final quarter of that year that they needed something to jack up the membership numbers. Because my perspective on that at the time was that, you know, let's try and get as many people back into RS as we can and see how many of our existing players are willing to, you know, give us a shot again from that fresh perspective. And that, you know, was one of the things I feel that Fresh Start did really great. And I don't know, did you have a chance to participate in Fresh Start or no? I don't think you were around at the time.
No, I wasn't around at the time.
Okay. And see, that's the thing, is that when we were doing this, it would be a 50-50 shot of people who had either just returned or people who were starting their second or third account or fourth account or fifth account in some cases. Believe it or not, I ran into a few of those.
Lord have mercy.
Right? I know. Managing one is just hard enough, right?
Yeah.
But, and see, that's the thing, is that we were wondering if Fresh Start was a success. And I actually do want to quote from the report in terms of how Fresh Start looks in particular to that end of year subscriber count. And they said that Fresh Start Worlds were a new addition to both games in the second half of the year, which provided new and veteran players an opportunity to play on game servers where all characters started afresh with no experience. Fresh Start Worlds were a success, attracting new players to the game and creating a new game feel for existing players. And the thing about this is I don't know if I want to read too much into this and say, you know, that it was a blanket success, or if I want to, you know, kind of say that this is just, you know, boilerplate and that, yeah, it added, you know, it increased the membership numbers by just a bit. I don't know where we land on that. And I'm kind of thinking that it's the latter, given the fact that the subscriber numbers are the same as 2021. That's my take on it, at least. Feel free to disagree, either of you.
I think 2021 would have still been riding a bit of a high from, you know, the pandemic. We saw, you know, a whole bunch of a spike in players in 2020, 2021 from that.
Wars in 2021.
Yeah, true. I don't think there's any denying that it was a success. I think it's maybe a question about, like, what aspects of it was it more successful or less successful with. But, you know, the way I look at this is, like, if this was so good, why haven't we seen it come back? Or something like this, right?
Yeah, like a temporary game mode for RS3.
Yeah, I mean, Leagues, you know, Old School still runs Leagues and all of that. So, you know, it's sort of a little bit of an oddball with RS3. But everything that I've heard about it is that it was a really great experience for players who were involved with it. It undoubtedly brought in more revenue for the organization. So, you know, maybe 2 years is... Maybe they'll have an announcement on this year. I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, and see, that's the thing we always talk about here is the question of, and the need rather, to do something. Because if we look at the daily player counts from the Misplaced Items website, we're still hovering at around 17,000 active per week. And it really hasn't been this low since...
pre-pandemic, right?
Yeah.
2019.
So, I mean, not to, you know, put the cart before the horse or put the farm animal out to pasture before you know what happens behind the barn, but...
What?
No. What I'm saying is that there's got to be a point here where we have to realize that something's happening here. And obviously looking at 2022 numbers are not going to be indicative of 2024, but you can see the start of a trend or a trajectory there at the end of 22 to where we are now is what I'm getting to. And
yeah. And you could probably, misplaced items, I think you said, was what you're looking at. There's probably 2022 data you could look at, and you could probably draw some correlations between, you know, like what were the average daily players back then versus subscribers, and, like, you know, get a sort of idea of maybe what the subscriber count looks like currently. But I mean, it's all speculation.
Yeah, and see, that's a point. I was trying to highlight that it's the start of the trend, and it's why we feel what we feel right now. And, you know, you can see that necromancy spike in there in August of 2023, but it kind of tapered off after that. So the question is, you know, what does 2023 look like? And then what does 2024 look like a year and a bit from now when we're looking at this? So that's the perspective I think we take from Fresh Start Worlds here on this. But we do still have a bit of stuff to go through on the financial side here, but I'm going to thank some Patreon supporters right now because these people make RSBNB Update possible. So this week, I'd like to thank Alvaro L., Amos Reed, Andrew C., Arvid Zell, Chilbura, Daniel W., Dominic R., Drama Free, Dura Max, Free Milk, Guy Lafleur, Jacob G., Jade Gizmo, Jason S., Jeepus, Jesse W., Keski, Lemon Lodge, Luminos, Nate the Great, Pernasius, Renhawk, Ricky A., Rippeth, Runestar, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Shirt Pants, Targayin, The Naked Captain, The Dabbing Goat, Tim, Tom V, Truth Ray, Ukulele Steve, Zant, and Zazicon. Thank you, everybody. It truly means the world to us, and you can learn more about our offerings over at patreon.com/RSBNB, and there I just pointed out at the top of the show that we posted our most recent monthly bit, which of course is the monthly bonus show where we highlight and talk about one specific thing in particular. And what we got this month is the quest tier list. We rated 26 of RuneScape's biggest and most impactful quests in about an hour and a half, rated them from S through D. And we definitely had some shockers in there. Earth, what was your biggest takeaway from that?
You guys are morons.
Which one did you want to have higher or lower?
Broken Home should not have been that high. Legends Quest should not have been that low. Y'all are just haters.
Well, there's a bit of a preview as to how the tiers kind of shook out. The full panel, of course, was Earth, myself, Zerdones, and Avernick.
And Underground Pass was way too low as well.
God.
Oh, such controversy in such a thing as a quest list. That's why we do these, and that's why our...
It's not my fault. You're wrong.
I mean, it's a group. It wasn't just me.
I have to say, Shane.
There's one other person there, and they were wrong, too.
Two? Avernick and Zerdones.
Two other people there?
Yeah.
There were two other people there, and they were all wrong.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Shane, I was counting you as a person. I do that sometimes.
Go ahead, Lemon.
I was very upset that you didn't mention the greatest reward that came with the Chosen Commander, which was the 150th quest commemorative hoodie that I wore for like 6 years straight. It was delightful. It was black. It had a really like gorgeous, stylish picture of Bandos on the back. It was lovely.
Was this in real life?
To death. Yes. Yes.
When did they put that out?
This is a real-life hoodie that I wore all through high school and my first few years at university.
I had no idea they did such a thing.
Yeah, it was great. I loved
it.
It was a great hoodie. R.I.P.
See if you can find a photo of it online and share that with us.
Yeah.
But we also do have the VIP and insider tiers for $3 a month. You get a VIP rank on Discord, including chat channel access, a mention on the podcast at the start of the month, as well as high-quality stereo versions of the show. And for insider, you get a shout-out each and every week, exclusive access to the clips we use to make the clip show, and you get the RSBNB Christmas card every December. But that happened. It's on the Patreon website. Go sign up. Get access to that one. And 68 other monthly bits where we talk about all sorts of things, including tier lists. And if you want more tier lists, post in the comments or on Discord, and we'll see what we can do.
And a lot of them feature Patreon, me yelling at Shane, completely
Patreon,
unfiltered.
Patreon.com/RSBNB. Yeah, that's how it used to be here. Lots of you telling me I was wrong.
No, I still do that. I'm just a little mellowed out a little bit now.
Okay.
Still wrong, though.
Any more comments on Fresh Start and subscriber numbers?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm not sure there's much we can with the data we have.
Like, no.
I wish there were more, but
there was also, in addition to the discussions on Pipeworks and acquisitions, interestingly enough, the two directors this year, Phil Mansell, the CEO, and the other director, didn't take dividends this year, and overall director and management pay and compensation is down compared to previous years, which is interesting when you look at that. But of course, on the manager side, we don't know if it's just, you know, down overall because they added more managers and paid out the same, or they have less managers, or they just paid less. And, you know, that's the thing with these reports, is that there's really no way of knowing unless we had access to the full suite of data on the back end. But what about the risks and uncertainties? Anything in there stick out to either of you?
One of the things that I mean, it makes sense that it's there, but the acknowledgement about fraudulent or illegal use of Jagex's digital currency, RuneScape Gold. I'm assuming this is more of an issue for old school than it is for RuneScape 3, but...
And see, that's the thing, is that you can buy bonds and sell them on the GE in old school, so obviously the illegal market is still, you know, there. It's probably not as bad as it once was.
Yeah.
Can you help me with which page this is on? You can't search this because...
Oh, sorry, the page 3 of the financial statements.
Oh, we're just on...
Oh, by the way, Earth, if you open it up on your Mac, preview on Mac OS will OCR it and make it searchable. I just realized earlier.
Okay.
I was complaining there about that, then okay, I realized that. We're good. But, yeah, and see, I feel like we don't think about that much on the RS3 side. But if you log into, you know, Grand Exchange on any old school busy world, you're going to see people trying to sell various services, whether it, you know, be Inferno runs or, you know, just straight up raw gold, right? And the way the systems work over there, as far as I can tell, is that they'll spam advertise for a few minutes, then the system will take them out and mute them. But they still get their, you know, few advertising messages in. So obviously a bigger problem on the OS side. Mitigated a bit by the having the ability to sell bonds, but still something that, you know, it is a game, and you have to realize people are going to go to that extent just to save them time. The other big thing on here is product quality and technical maintenance, which can, of course, be better split down into something called technical debt, or as other people like to call it, spaghetti code, which, you know, a 20-year-old plus game, you're going to have that cropping up from time to time, causing all sorts of little issues to come up, like we had back in the day with the thing called the login lockout.
Yep.
Were you impacted by that?
Thankfully not.
Okay. I was trying to remember if it was you or somebody else that said they were, and they were never certain if they were going to get their account back.
Oh, gosh.
That would have been terrifying.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Tannis and I at the time were watching that, and this is like, yeah, it's got to be just a handful of accounts, right? But once they start getting them back, we, you know, see the return title that they gave to people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, my God, there's these so many of these return titles cropping up. This really was a big thing. We're lucky here.
Yeah. There are a couple of World 42 regulars who sport that title. Carpy Kitty is a fellow Iron. They're, I don't know what rank they are, but they're already 5.8. And they were out for a while. I remember, like, not seeing them for quite a while during login lockout, so... It was really bad for some people.
Yeah, and that, and you know, just in general, when it comes to technical maintenance and product quality, that's the same case why we weren't able to get the character rework on RS3, mm-hmm. just too much time to sink into it to make it something that would be seen as viable. Another big thing, and you know, this has definitely been a thing more in Europe than over here in North America, Legislation changes on data privacy, tax obligations, and loot box mechanics. The big ones, of course, being data privacy and loot box mechanics, because, you know, there have been countries that have completely stepped out and banned the loot box and data privacy, mm-hmm. the whole shtick with GDPR over the past few years in terms of becoming compliant with all that. And, you know, I feel like the Jagex's work on the loot box file is interesting because it was also mentioned in the report that they actually went to Parliament in the UK and testified in terms of drafting the UK's loot box protection legislation, which, you know, if you have a game that uses that, it's one of its monetization mechanics. You kind of have to be at the table for that to shape the way things are going to go. But they do view that as a potential risk if things like that were to change, probably primarily in the EU, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I mean, not all of the microtransaction revenue, right, is loot box related, but you have to imagine that Treasure Hunter is probably a pretty sizable chunk of that. And microtransactions is, at least in 2022, you know, it's like almost 25% of their revenue.
Yeah, and you said you wanted to, you were wondering, you know, where that would split, because membership purchased with a bond, according to this, falls under microtransaction revenue.
Yeah, the way they classify it is that all, so they list microtransaction revenues as rune coins, treasure hunter keys, and bonds. And bonds are, depending on, there's some actually really interesting accounting stuff there, but like, we don't need to go into that. Bonds are, regardless of whether or not a bond is used for, redeemed for rune coins, redeemed for bank spaces, redeemed for presets, or treasure hunter keys, or membership, it all gets put under microtransaction revenue. So it'd be real, I personally would be really interested in, like, what does that split look like? You know, so like people malign the microtransaction revenue, but also people love their bonds. So it'd be really interesting to see.
Yeah, because I know people who have paid for Premier Club and more with bonds before.
Yeah, it's a really a lot of irons do, because when you get to late game, you know, you get all sorts of duplicates from bossing, and you drop trade it, and then you use that money to buy bonds. So,
yeah. But let's hope people aren't, you know, buying treasure hunter keys with bonds, because it's 15 treasure hunter keys for one bond.
See, but you know, there are some people who are.
I guess. I will buy bonds for rune coins primarily. That's my main bond usage myself.
Mm-hmm.
Or for, you know, the giveaways as we do.
Is that the only way to get rune coins?
No, you can buy them direct on their website. You can buy them direct on the website.
Oh, you mean buy in game?
Yeah, like I'll buy a bond in game from the GE, and then use that for rune coins.
Yep.
Which bonds are presently north of 100 mil each.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I mean, that's like the extreme of the Big Mac index, right?
Yeah, I mean,
what?
You never heard of the Big Mac index?
What the hell does that have to do with this?
It's how expensive a thing can be and over time, and then you watch it go up, and whether or not you can get the same value with it.
Okay.
But 100 mil plus for the bonds, and I think they go up whenever a flashy treasure hunter promo comes out. That's my take on it.
Yeah, maybe.
But
go up with this one?
Well, they've just been on a general push up for the last 6 months or so, really. Yeah. Like 80 mil.
It's the same with the old school bonds as well, right?
Yeah, but they're not as extreme.
No, extreme, but
so. But The other thing in the risk and uncertainty section that I think is also interesting, and I think you just have to mention this as always being there specifically in the games industry, is that of hiring and retaining qualified personnel. Because, you know, we've seen time and time again, Jagex gets somebody, you know, from a Blizzard or from an Activision or something to that effect, comes on over, does their 18 months and moves on. And, you know, for what it's worth, 18 months to 3 years is the average time somebody will stay at a company in the games industry. So that's not out of the realm of possibility, but it just means that, you know, Jagex needs to be able to hire and find these people and then keep them for a little bit longer so they're able to enact and carry out a vision that they might have for the company when they look at that. But I feel like that's just standard to put in at this point, but it bears mentioning nonetheless. So there we have it. Anything else from the financials? I feel like that was a good, you know, top level over. We didn't want to go too deep into it because we're pushing a year and a half plus since these things happened here, and it's not going to have too much influence today where we're at, given the fact we're heading into a different company ownership now. But
I do. There are two things I want to touch on quickly, Shane. So one, it's noted a couple of times in the financial statements that the sale to I can't remember who it is,
CVC.
Who it is of the CVC is pending regulation review. So, you know, I've heard people say like, oh, whatever thing has happened in the last, you know, like month, 2 months, whatever, like they're blaming that
on
the new owners and like they don't even own it yet, sweetie.
No. And see, that's the thing that even happened when Carlyle took over from the mining companies. People were expecting to see an influx in monetization and whatnot. But the reality is a company like Carlyle or CVC really doesn't care as long as Jagex is growing and the revenue keeps going up and the profits are reliable, I think. I think that's really what they care for at the end.
Yeah.
Like, if Jagex really did hit it out of the park under Carlyle, there would have been probably an opportunity to go public, but we know that didn't happen. So that's why I said when the sale happened, I think it's just steady as she goes at this point.
It feels that way.
Yeah. What was the other thing you wanted to mention?
Staffing. So I only bring this up because I saw there was a big thread on Reddit this week, with like JMods commenting on it.
The other source of controversy for the week.
So according to the financial statements, right, they've got for the year 2022, they had 433 staff, two directors, 88 commercial management, 240 devs, 33 customer relations, and 70 technical. Of course, dev here doesn't mean what we probably think it does when we hear dev. And also, like, this is for the entire company of Jagex. This isn't just for, you know, like RuneScape 3 or old school.
Yeah.
Here, dev is going to include a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't mean they're actually content developers. Modfowl noted this week that there are less than 50 content devs for RuneScape.
And I think that scared a bunch of people.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. That, like, more than 50 would seem like a lot.
Right. And, you know, like, we have contacts with people who work in tech, who work in gaming. And for what Jagex puts out, 50 is about what you would expect. And there'd actually been people who came over from other live game enterprises that found that Jagex's team was actually rather large for ours.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so, you know, that 240 number split across more than the two games. Split across, you know, your QA presumably is under development, your artists, your sound designers, like all of that sort of stuff. So, like, you know, I guess the moral of the story is don't believe everything you read on Reddit.
Right. And see, that's kind of what I was going for, too, with the, you know, take them out back, shoot them behind the barn comment, is that's what I think a lot of people were insinuating was what was going to be happening as the player numbers, you know, keep trending flat, I'll just say, especially after Necromancy. And when we also look at the fresh start numbers there as well. That's why I mentioned you can see that trend. And I think if you put that together with the comments from the JMods of, oh, there's only 50 devs working on RS3, you really get what was a form of tech journalism reporting back in the early 2000s, FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And what seems to happen most of the time is that the subreddit and social media around RuneScape just thrives on that. They really do. They really do. And it's about not getting sucked into that and rising above all that noise, and just kind of realizing that if the sky was falling for Jagex, we'd know and we'd see other signs of it. And we've already explained away this first half of the year in terms of content cadence as well. So I just want to really caution everybody to not, you know, read too much into the posts like you highlighted from Modfowl and these developer numbers here on that, because, you know, a huge company with 433 employees end of 2022, and, you know, might be a bit bigger, might be a bit smaller than that, based on where the games fall, that's pretty much on par for, I think, what we'd expect at this point. So that's good you mentioned that. Earth, anything else?
I got nothing.
All right, fair enough. Well, I know these episodes pertaining to financials either hit or they don't, so do let us know in the comments if you like us going over these, because it's just kind of fun to do, and this one is a little bit later than we'd have liked. Hopefully 23 will be out sooner rather than later. But
it's interesting to read, but it's also like, well,
what's the point now, 18 months, right?
A little while ago, so
we got bigger fish to fry at this point in time.
That's a completely different fish.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's like a difference between a halibut and a salmon.
Or just two different ones.
Yeah. You like halibut?
Go off. Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
Right. With that, I think we should move on to the achievements then. This week in particular, congratulations to Godin, who got 120 Thieving, Luminos, who got 120 Invention, both of those on the 9th, and Ichazi, who got 99 Necromancy on the 6th. Well done, folks. Well done. Lemon, you have a pick of the week for us. It's an older game, but it's a game that's very endearing to you, so go for it.
Yeah, I do. So, pick of the week is a little game called To the Moon. It is, I think it's probably made in RPG Maker. It's, you know, very simple visual style, very simple mechanically, but it has such a tender emotional story. It's about these two doctors who work at a company who have a technology where they can basically go into the mind of a dying person and recreate their memories in such a way that whatever it is that they wanted to achieve in their life and wasn't able to, they feel in their dying moments that, you know, they were able to achieve that. So it deals with a lot of really heavy subjects, and it's so good. It's a short little game. It's, I don't know, maybe 4 or 6 hours, but it's so good. Highly recommend it if anybody's looking for something to do on a cozy Sunday afternoon and is really looking to cry their eyes out. So
nice. And you mentioned there was also some other connection to it.
The reason this is on my mind again lately, last year they ran a Kickstarter for a card game, I can't remember what that was actually called, but alongside that, they released a whole bunch of merch. So, of course, I bought all of the merch, little stuffed platypus and a little music box in the shape of a piano. And it's just makes me so happy. It makes me so happy, but it also makes me want to cry. So
very nice and wholesome.
Yeah.
Right on. We have a link to that in the show notes over at update.show. Earth, what have you been doing on RS? Either version of it's fine.
Oh, I mean, I've mostly been playing old school. I did get the Ravensworn title finally in RS3 the other day. But my journey towards the quest cape continues in old school. I'm at 139 out of 164. And as we've been on here, I've just been doing Rag and Bone Man too, because, you know, just sort of got to sit here and click on an NPC over and over till RNGesus decides that it wants to give me this damned baby dragon bone.
I hated both those quests.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hate everything that is good, Shane. So I think it's extremely well written. The plot and backstory is amazing.
Any other quests that you'd like to highlight?
No, but I know there's one you want me to.
I'm not thinking right now. Tell me what it is.
Shane. I need you to make that a clip.
I'm not thinking right now of what might be one of your quests that you want me to pick on, but go for it.
The riveting tale of
Oh, that's
whatever.
Oh, right. That was such a wonderful quest. We talked about it last week on the podcast as well. I was wondering if we were going to get a chance to bring the frogs up again on that. Lemon, do you have an old school account?
I mean, like, technically. Oh, actually, no. I don't have access to that account anymore. No, I don't.
Well,
technically I do, right? Because I could just log in on any account on old school. But
well, if you ever have an account with 15 woodcutting, go do the Riveting Tale of a Lily Pad Labor Dispute.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of really good things about it.
It's such classic, classic RuneScape. I talked about it last week. I'm not going to talk about it again, despite Earth wanting me to highlight that. But anything else there, Earth?
Not really. It's the busiest time of year for me at work, so I really haven't been able to be on a whole lot. And when I've been home, been playing Helldivers, so.
As has been the case for a lot of people, spreading that democracy.
Damn straight.
How about you, Lemon? What have you been up to on RS?
This past weekend, I did some dungeoneering, and it's really fun.
Oh,
so I had not really done dungeoneering since like
launch.
Let's just say like 2016, 2017. And back. So just some context. Initially when Iron Man mode was released, we could only dungeoneer by ourselves.
Yep.
Also, the largest size floor you could do was mediums in a solo. So that, like, that is the context in which I got 120 dungeoneering.
Yeah, you didn't know that? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah, yeah.
You couldn't do larges?
Nope. Nope. So that's the context in which I got, like, 120 dungeoneering. It was at, like, I was at, like, 150
mil. Why did anyone get 120? Ow!
But I, you know, it's been one of those skills that, like, I've been putting off and putting off because, I don't know, like, I just have such painful memories of that. But doing larges is a lot of fun, quite frankly. The archaeology relics help so much with that. The Shadow's Grace for, you know, the reduced cooldown on Surge and Bladed Dive. The Deathless one, so Blink doesn't just destroy your XP rates.
Yeah, I really look forward to using that one when I got
great.
That. It's good.
It's great. And then I finally like looked into and understood how all of the Garajo cards work, so you know, being able to stack all of those and get like a, I think it stacks to like a 5x, 5 times XP rate or something like that. for dungeoneering floors and getting like 700k XP for a warped floor. It's like, that is such a good feeling.
Right. And they made it so you guys can dungeoneer with other Iron Man characters, and you can also do it with non-Irons now too, right?
No, it's just the we can just do it with other Irons.
That's a huge inconsistency, because Irons can boss with other non-Irons, right?
It is. We can.
Yeah,
that change came with Krosis. I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, we can do it with other Irons. It can be sometimes difficult to get a team together. But also, I've always
trade with each other. Like,
yes, you can. So you mentioned it on the show a couple weeks ago, but we recently had a really big nerf
change.
for dungeoneering crafting. The meta for crafting used to be you would buy an inventory full of 120 dungeoneering capes. You'd go into Daemonheim, you'd Alchemol, you'd use that money to buy a fat stack of the tier one hides, and then you'd craft bodies and sell them and craft bodies and sell them, craft bodies and sell them. And you could, if you had the funds to do so, you could buy them on one iron account and then bring a second iron account into Daemonheim, and then just trade the hides to the other account. So like that's been something that has needed to be addressed for a long time, and the way they addressed it was completely nerfing the method, which is really sad because I still have 10 mil crafting XP to go.
Honestly, it sounds like a problem with dungeoneering and how that
interacted
with
Iron
in the first place.
Yeah, that's been
an unfortunate bystander.
Yeah, that's been a feature of dungeoneering since dungeoneering came out, right? So,
because I know
2024 was when they decided to fix it. So
yeah, and in Fresh Start, for some of the early skills like runecrafting and whatnot, dungeoneering, believe it or not, was actually a really good training method for that. So
yeah,
which baffles the mind to say that, but. And you know that's why I was saying earlier on in the podcast that it'd be interesting to kind of dive into some of these sorts of things, because there's all these weird sort of interactions that you think, well, what does this have to do with me? And I'm pointing specifically to the crafting cape one, or the dungeoneering cape one rather, for crafting. And it's like, this exists in the game, and this has been part of it since who knows when. And it's just baffling that there's a game mode built on so many, dare I say, edge cases like that, of things like that happening. Because I'm sure things like that exist in other skills, right? That are just, weird ways of training it.
Yeah, there are definitely some weird ways of training. I mean, like, technically you could do that with any of the viable skills within dungeoneering.
Right.
It's just that they were bad compared to normal training methods, so nobody did them. But crafting, it's weird because crafting, like the tick speed for crafting bodies in Daemonheim is like really quick. It's like a one tick action or something. So like that's why it's so good. There are a lot of like really weird niche things that really make the game mode a lot of fun.
Yeah. And, I think the rumor at the time was that when Andrew was making Dungeoneering is that it was initially going to be a different game, but it just got rolled into RS at the time. So
yeah, I mean, there must be some truth to that, because it's been such a persistent, if it's not been confirmed, I guess it's a rumor, but like, that seems really weird, because like, you can't just... I don't know. Maybe my understanding of programming is not great, but like to take it and drop
right.
it
like
into
like why not hook game? Into like, for example, the smithing side of it. For example, the
yeah,
mining and smithing.
I wonder if they were like using the RuneScape engine as a jumping
because
off
it's
something
because it's the old mining and smithing in Dungeoneering, despite having the new stuff in
yep.
the skill.
Yep.
So, but
yeah.
Congrats there, Earth, on Rag and Bone Man number 2.
Yay! I did it.
As for me, I'm back at Raziel. I eclipsed that 1100 kill point mark, and I'm still waiting for that last drop mark.
Oh,
what? What was that for?
1,100 kills with that boring-ass boss?
No, well, you're thinking her mod. This is Raziel, the one at tier 95 plus.
Well, Raziel's not that interesting either.
Oh, God. Okay, all right.
No,
I just,
still.
I'm scrolling up to see if I can find it. There's somebody in my clan. Here he is. Last update we had from him, he was at 3,225 kill count. Still missing the rope top. This is the other side of the Iron Man game mode, that it's just like really depressing sometimes when RNG does not go in your favor.
And I'm just doing it for a log.
Yeah.
Not even the armor. Yikes.
Yeah, big yikes. Big yikes.
I'm more concerned about the fact that I could be there that long and not have it. I think it's time to start diversifying more, because I've just been doing Reaper plus Raziel.
Yeah, I mean, so long as you're enjoying it, then, you know, that's all that matters, but...
I enjoy it most days.
Days.
Most days. Most days being the operative word there. But, you know, in addition to that, spent some time, of course, turning my slime into ectoplasm, which I think everybody should do if you are looking for something AFK to do, just based on the fact of the money that we talked about earlier in the podcast. And I, on old school, I'm about ready to, you know, throw something at the screen sometimes when I train Slayer. It's not fun.
Oh my god, just stop doing the same damn task over and over and over. How many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man?
I don't cancel on old school. I don't have the points to cancel.
Good. Maybe you'll do something more diverse.
It gave me steel dragons, and I wasn't ready for those.
Skill issue!
That's the problem with Slayer, isn't it?
I know!
I have such a... I haven't trained the skill in years, but, like, I had such a love-hate relationship with the skill, because, like, everything's great, and then, like, everything's terrible.
Yeah, and you know, taking it to the RS3 side, one of the great things that Necromancy did for Slayer, in my view, is that the vast majority of Slayer creatures out there, you can just go and use Necromancy against them, and you don't need to worry about changing your gear and combat style in between, which is another one of the things that annoys me with Slayer. And the other thing is just that, you know, given old school rates, it's just still very slow. The target level is 69, because I think that's the highest that's needed for... Nice. It's for one of the... I think it's for the... I forget what quest it's needed for. It's one of the northern ones, but that's a long-term goal. But I don't believe there's much else to talk about this week. Of course, if you want to hear the weekly adventures on what's happening on Old School, in particular trips into the wilderness this week, because that's what this week's update was about, update.show/OS for that. That comes out every Sunday. But as for this podcast, you can subscribe on all your favorite podcast listeners out there, Apple, Spotify, Pocket Casts, and more. If you listen on Google, you'll want to move away to that and over to YouTube, because Google Podcast is being discontinued. So go to youtube.com/RSBNB and subscribe and sign up there if you're on Google Podcasts, or if you just want to consume the YouTube versions, youtube.com/RSBNB. Do like and subscribe. Greatly helps the channel out, but all the show can be found at all the other good podcasting platforms that you expect. So, but thank you, Earth, for being here as you did double duty this week with the tier list, and now this episode. Thank you so much.
Of course,
and of course, Lemon. Great having you on the show, and very much appreciate your insight. Is there anything you'd like to say before we move on from this episode?
No, it's been a pleasure. Happy to be here. Happy to do what I can.
Right on.
Glad to have you.
Thanks. Thanks.
Oh, I guess one thing.
Yeah,
sign
sure.
Sign up
go
for the Patreon. The monthly bits are great. Like, if you're not listening to the monthly bits, you're really missing out.
they're a format where we learn so much, right? Like, we sit down and go for an hour, but the tier list ones are the simple ones we do. And I don't say that to minimize the tier list, but when it comes to the other ones, all of the other ones that we do, there's always some grand realization that happens about two-thirds the way through the show that makes us all stop and think for a minute, or gives us the idea for the next monthly bit. So you're right on that. Very much appreciate you saying that and drawing more attention to the monthly bits. Patreon.com/RSBNB. But thanks so much for being here. Hopefully you enjoyed your time on the show.
Yes. Yeah, sorry, I was like, I thought you were doing the outro and I just stopped listening. And then, yes, I very much enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. And we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
Bye.